Awesome. Oh, look, you can sit down. It's going to be an interesting night. I feel like I'm going to be preaching to myself, just letting you know. but I guess that's the way it should be, eh?
Yes.
You know? I need to start with a story and to be really open and vulnerable, just because basically this is a story that got me sending a text to Joel to say, oh, you know that email I sent where I said I couldn't speak? Well, I can now. So it happened because I went along to a doctor appointment. And at that doctor's appointment, I ended up getting some tests that I wasn't expecting to get. And at those tests, I then got some results that I also wasn't expecting to get. And those results actually meant that I needed to check up on a nodule that was showing up on my thyroid. It was a scan that I had of my neck that, again, I was never expecting, and it just so happened subsequently that I could discover that there was something else going on. Now, for me, I suppose I didn't really think too much about it. I didn't want to worry, and I was thinking at the time, you know, God's got this, no matter what, God's got this. And then over the weeks, I hadn't heard anything, and I actually was speaking to Eve on the way in to church and telling her about it, and she said, oh, you should really follow it up if you haven't heard. And I thought, oh, I don't know, there was this part of me that was like, doesn't matter. And then I got a phone call, and I knew as soon as that phone rang that there was something that needed to be checked up on. And to be honest, when I got that phone call, I was busy and I was in the middle of a really busy day, and I speak to a lot of people and I hear a lot of people's problems, and to be honest, I just didn't really have time to think about getting the phone call, but it was just sitting in the back of my mind. But only a few hours, it was just near the end of the day, I had a dinner that I was going to at a family that's just new to this church actually, a lovely family, Ed and Lil. And I've been to their house once before, and they're very kind and friendly. And as I was driving to their house, I just thought, you know what? I don't need to say a thing. Let's just keep this to myself. But I started asking some questions, and I think over the time that I've walked with God, is I've found it so important to actually be asking God questions. I think when I was first a young Christian, I thought it was a little bit scary asking God, or maybe not okay to ask God a whole lot of questions. But over the time, I've realized that it is okay to ask him a whole lot of questions. And I, not that I asked him a lot, but I just started thinking on the, as I drove, it's not a long drive, it was just I go from Kunda Park and I was going up through Palmwoods, and I knew I had to get fuel. And just along the Marucci Door Road, so it's only about 5 minutes, I started to think, what if there was actually something wrong? What if, you know, there was something that was terminal in my life? Just saying. And it was just as I was coming up round the roundabout to get into Palmwoods, and I thought, is there anything I'd regret? Is there anything in my life that I'd just go, oh my goodness, I wish I'd done that. One of the first things, to be honest, that flooded to my mind is, would I regret never getting married? I'd love to be married, but it hasn't been an opportunity for me as yet. And I just found myself flooded with this overwhelming love and just going, you know what? All these things that I have in my life, they're just superfluous. Even marriage, for me, is like, that's not the most important thing. And I did exactly what I'm doing now. I started crying, and I was like, God, I just want to see people saved. I just want to see people come to know you. And if there's anything at all in my life that's stopping me, if there's anything that's holding me back, then you help me. But I want to be desperate. Like this, I don't want to mess around anymore. I'm sick of messing around. I'm really sick of messing around. And I think that's been the cry of my heart lately, because sometimes I just feel like there are blocks in the way. But I also know that I have to wait for God. I also know that I cannot push past what God has said for me. And you know, the thing that I love is that all of a sudden, all the prophetic words that have been spoken over my life and all the dreams that I've had just flooded in that moment. And I saw picture after picture and vision after vision of all the things that God's spoken for me to do. And I was like, you know what? No matter what, God is going to see me through. I don't know what it's going to look like, but no matter what, God is going to see me through. And I pulled up to that fuel station, and I thought, come on, this guy does not need to see some weeping lady as I pay for my fuel. I pushed my tears aside, and I carried on with my night. I turned up to Ad and Lil's, and I had a great night. And then at the end of the night, as the kids went to bed, it just was me and Lily. And I just felt like God say, come on, darling, you share with her. And I did. I just poured out my heart to her, and I said, you know, I haven't even told my mum. I haven't told a lot of people what's going on, but I just felt to share with you. And what I need is I can recognize there's a little bit of fear that's creeping in, and I just don't want that fear to be there. And can you pray for me? And she came beside the chair that I was sitting on and just got down on her knee, and she put her hand on me, and she prayed for me. And I just remember this overwhelming sense of peace coming over me, and I just knew it was going to be okay. I drove off that night, and when I woke up the next morning, I just felt really different. And you know, it's interesting in these moments to see what comes out. And I think it's so important for us to dialogue with God and really ask Him some questions and see what comes out of our heart. Because for me, overwhelmingly, what comes out of my heart in the context of all the trials and stuff is that I just want to see people saved. I've found myself just breaking down, crying, and just crying out to God and saying, please, God, please. And there's this part of me, you know, I want to see hundreds of thousands. In fact, I feel like God's spoken that to me. I feel like people have prophesied that to me. I remember one time, and this is where I'm so grateful for a church like this. You know, when John Fall had his PowerPoint up, or the video of Pakistan, and you know, Pastor Imam, I think it was, or maybe it was John, I think, and Pastor Imam's wife, is it Imam? Imran, that's it. I thought that's it. Imran's wife, and she is like going for it, translating, and I remember just being like, oh, so powerful. And Dennis turned around and he mouthed at me, that's gonna be you. And it just went into my spirit. And I'm thinking, you know, how important it is that we actually do have these words. For a while, I used to, I think, almost push away the prophetic, because I didn't feel like I needed to hear from someone else to hear from God. And yeah, that's true to a degree. I shouldn't go running around from person to person, but I need others in my life, and I'm so grateful for others in my life that have spoken those prophetic words over me, whether I've asked for them or whether I haven't. And even times, you know, where God's prompted me and said, go, Morag. So I just want to put up that scripture, Jim, Proverbs 29:18. Because this was the scripture that I was reminded of just when I came to that story, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And I was thinking, you know, there's two parts to this, is that there's prophetic vision, And there's, well, I've always known this verse is, without vision people perish. But then there is the blessed is he who keeps the law, that continues with the scripture. And you know, when God's spoken his promises, when trials come, you've got something to hold on to. But it's important that you hold on to what God says and nothing more. And immediately I was reminded of Saul and the promises that were over his life, but the things that he didn't hold on to. We need to hold on. We need to get full instructions, and we need to obey everything. And if we can move to 1 Samuel 13, 8 to 14, it says, he waited 7 days, so this is Saul, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me, and the peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and I offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you, for then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. And then if we go two chapters further, and that's in 1 Samuel 15, 13 to 23. That's where we're up to, yeah? And Samuel came to Saul and said to him, so this is, Samuel had already given Saul some instructions to do some stuff, right? Samuel came to Saul and said, Saul, blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Saul said, they have bought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop, I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of your Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have bought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And they're obviously some pretty harsh scriptures, eh? Saul actually got his whole kingdom ripped away. And, you know, I think so often it's really hard to wait sometimes. It's really easy to want to take stuff into your own hands. And I know for me personally, sometimes I keep thinking, come on, I want more. Let me have more. But, you know, sometimes there's a waiting, and I was reminded again of Joseph. He had a dream at 17, and he got into Pharaoh's service at 30. That's 30 years. And then it was another 7 years of good crops before the famine started, and it was after the famine that his family came down and bowed before him as he had seen in his dream. And sometimes these things are a long time to wait. It was after that 7 years that it happened, or after those other years. And, you know, I say all this, I sort of got to this point in the message. I got to this point last night. Then I was like, what now, God? I went to the movies. And it was at the movies that God actually spoke again some more to me. And I watched Second Act, and it's a movie out by Jennifer Lopez. And, you know, all through the movie, I could not stop thinking. The thing is, the moral of the story is success is a lie if it's built on the wrong foundation. Success is a lie if it's built on the wrong foundation. Because right from the start, without spoiling the story for you, is she lied, or she didn't tell the truth. She lied. And I was thinking about the importance of actually making sure that our foundation is strong. And I was going back and just thinking through a number of different scenarios. This last little while for me, honestly, has been a little bit of a roller coaster. You might be wondering what's happened with the results. It's all right, they've come out fine. Yeah. But I also got an opportunity when I was doing those results, because the guy had to do a little pinprick and get a biopsy and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, he didn't get it the first time. And in the end, he said, he came back and he said, fingers crossed that we'll get it the second time. And I was like, hold on, let's not cross our fingers. What is it that you need? And I'm going to ask God. So he told me what he needed. And I said, okay, Lord, can you give him that? And he came back in and there was success. Yeah. And what I actually said to him as well, and I got to speak to the nurse, and I said, you know, sometimes we don't get because we don't ask. And I was just thinking through so many different areas, and sometimes I can even have that lie that I need to have more than what I've got. But I also need to remember to ask God for more and ask him for what it is that I know and I have the deep desire that he wants me to be asking for. And I've realized that as I've gone through this little whirlwind of a time, because, you know, I went from this to then going to Sydney to a conference and then going to the Melbourne Awakening, and then I came back for a few days and then I went to New Zealand and travelled through Auckland and Dunedin and Christchurch, and I've spoken to so many different people along the way, and God has given me the ones and the twos. And that's what it's about, is being faithful. And, you know, I was in an Uber in Melbourne, and the guy, when I got in, he said to me, do you want a drink of water? And I said, oh, what? And he's like, do you want a drink of water? And I said, oh, no, thanks. Do you want to listen to some music? And I was like, oh, what kind of music have you got? And he said, Indian. I was like, sure, okay. So he plays the Indian music, and then I'm listening away, and I said to him, why is it that a Pakistani is listening to Indian music? And he's like, well, why is it that you're a New Zealander and you listen to American music? And I was like, okay, good on you. That's right. I just wondered. Good point. But then he actually, I asked him, well, what does the music actually mean? And he started translating it. And I was like, why is it that Indians always sing about love? They always sing about love. But then I turned to him and I said, what, do you know where the greatest source of love comes from? He's like, no. I said, I do. It's God. He's like, Allah? I was like, does Allah say that? And he's like, yes. And I said, are you sure? Allah says that he's love? And he said, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, do you talk to him? And he's like, talk to him? What do you mean talk to him? And I said, well, can you talk to God and he talks back? And he's like, what do you mean? And so I started sharing with him about how God speaks to us and how he loves to talk to us and how he loves to draw us in into intimate relationship with us. And I started talking to him about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And he kept saying to me, how do you hear from God? I was like, well, you just have to ask him to talk to you. Why don't we do that now? And so we did. I said, just ask, dear God. And he followed me in prayer and asked that God would speak to him. And then he started getting a little bit fidgety. And I said to him, how are you doing, all right? And he was asking, he said, oh, I think I'm feeling something. And I said, oh, well, that's good. How about I pray for you? So I prayed for him as well. And then I started getting this word for him. And Dave, thank you. I do want to say thank you. Because, you know, I've been going along to the prophetic nights most Mondays. And it's so helpful just to have that constant reminder. You know, sometimes we've just got to click that switch. We've just got to flick that switch on and make sure that we're hearing and locking in. And I got this, I feel like what God's saying is you're in a room. And it's a room that's quite small. And you feel like the walls are enclosing in. And you know there is more on the outside, but you don't know how to get to it. He said, how do you know that? How do you know that about me? Who told you that? And I said, well, I feel like God said that to me. He's like, how? How do you know? How does he speak to you? Anyway, by that time, I had actually got to my destination, and I asked him for his phone number, and I sent him a little video that he could find out some more about God. About 3 hours later, I got a text message and said, can my friend ring you as well? He wants to ring you tomorrow. And so I said, yeah, sure. I just felt like to say yes. Well, I am talking to that friend still. And that friend actually wanted to know. I actually sent him a message to say, can I talk about you at church tonight? And he's like, he's actually sent me a message back. I better just check what he said. Perhaps, well, he hasn't said no, but he hasn't said yes. So we have to be careful. he basically asked, we might not be able to put that slide up just so you know, Jim, okay, the next one that's with the picture, just so we don't have his name. If I don't say his name, it's going to be all right, right? but anyway, he basically just said to me, can you tell me or talk to, well, I hear that you're a preacher of Christianity, is what he basically said. And can you tell me what God says about me? And I basically started writing some things back about his broken heart. And I suggested that he read a Bible verse. And he's like, no, sorry, I read the Quran. And I was like, well, you know, you could read the Bible verse if you like, because he was asking again, well, what's God saying? And I said, well, this is what God's saying. How about you read the Bible verse? And then I told him some more. And then he texted me and said, can I call you? I said, yes. So for an hour, I talked to this guy. And he ended up also praying and asking God to be speaking to him. And he said, out of all the things that are going on in my life, that one thing that you told me about my broken heart, that's the number one thing that's standing in the way. And we're continuing to talk. But I think the thing that breaks my heart is that he said to me, I've never been able to talk to anyone like this before. And I'd love to just challenge you guys, because I know I'm not the only one that does this, but I also know that we all need to lift our game, myself included, and start these conversations with people and not be afraid and not be embarrassed, because they're actually lots of fun. And they're actually not as hard as what we think they are. And I just want to let you know, I do get embarrassed. But I just get over my embarrassment. I just step out. I do a little giggle. If I mess up, I'm like, eh. And, you know, it's nothing like a little bit of embarrassment, eh? But I think the thing that actually said that stuck out to me was something that he said to me last night just before I went to the movie. I'll have to, instead of getting it up on screen, I'll just get it up here. So if you could just skip over that one slide as well, Jim, so that we don't see that. But we were talking back and forth, and I said to him, I'm doing good. I've been doing a little Bible study today, and I'm talking to God. I'm so grateful to talk to God and hear from him. I love him so much. Have you been talking to God lately? And he said, I'm talking to you. Isn't it cool? And I said, but I'm not God, though. And he said, nah, you're not, but you're close to God. And I was like, I just sat there with that message, and I was like, And I typed back, that's true. And sometimes, you know, I do have a tendency, because I don't want people to look at me as being God. It's easy for people to come to get the response from you instead of from God. But there's a time when you can help to connect people, where you can help to give them understanding, and where you can keep leading them to follow Jesus. So let's put up the parable of the toilet roll. You know, we'll put up the first picture. Yeah. It is always really good when you go to the toilet and there's some paper, isn't it? You're excited about that, yeah? And you know, there's a little bit of a story with the parable of the toilet roll for me, because I was with Youth with a Mission for years, and you know, there'd be many times that you'd go to the toilet and you'd sit down, you'd be like, oh, and there'd be no paper on the roll. And I remember thinking, these people, why don't they change the toilet roll? And I started getting really frustrated, until I got to the point where I felt like God used the toilet roll analogy to be able to change my heart and my attitude. So what I would do is, when I saw that the toilet roll was empty, I was always grateful. In fact, we could just put the next one up. I was always grateful to find out before I sat down. And if I had sat down, let's just put up the next one. That's what I'd be saying if I was already sitting. But anyway, I got to the point where I thought, you know what, I'll just ask God to alert me so that kind of situation doesn't happen. Just check out the roll. Okay, now what I'd often have to do is go down to the supply room and go and get some more toilet paper, and then put it all in the basket that was beside the toilet, and then put it on the roll. And I remember one time when I thought there was just the last piece, and I thought no one would ever know. But I didn't. I went back, I went and got the toilet paper, and I filled it up. And what happened was, after a while, instead of being grumpy about what people hadn't done, I said, thank you, God, for an opportunity to serve. And thank you, God, for an opportunity to be faithful in the little things. And thank you, God, that every single time I go to the toilet roll and it's empty, it reminds me, when I don't do the things that you've asked me to do, it affects others. And thank you, God, that you are going to constantly keep me on track, whether people can see what I've done or whether people can't see what I've done. And that's my encouragement to you tonight, is to be faithful in the little things, and to be faithful with those little promptings of when God says, come on. Because, you know, after I learnt that lesson, I think probably for the next, well, however long I was in YWAM, I never encountered an empty roll after that. Yeah. You know, sometimes that's the whole thing God wants. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, what I thought I would just give you, just as a few tips, just before I finish, because sometimes some of us, you know, we get to the point where we've got these conversations, and where our heart actually, we would like to do something about sharing our faith, and then we get a little bit stuck. And you know, I get stuck myself, but I just keep asking God, help me, next time, help me. So I just wanted to let you know of just a few scenarios, and these are really cool. These have just happened only over the last few weeks. There's a girl called Emma, and I asked her a question. She was outside the hospital. She came up to me. She was just standing in front of me and Grant, and I was there very late at night, a very strange, bizarre situation, because I had listened to that little reminder as I was driving up the road. Hey, Morag, just pull over and do this. I pulled over, I did that. I ended up, bizarre set of circumstances, on the hospital steps. And a girl standing in front of me, and I said to her, are you okay? And she wasn't. And I got to hug her, I got to pray for her, I got to help get her some food, got to help get her into a hotel room. I've since gone and had a pedicure with her. I've gone and given her a Bible. I've helped her with a meal. And now she's safely down in Mount Gambier with her family and talking about going to church and talking to God almost every day. And she hadn't even encountered what God was like before that. Yeah, and she said to me just before she left the Sunshine Coast, which really struck my heart, I haven't smiled like that in weeks. Sometimes just our time with people, it was that pedicure, which honestly blessed me probably more than her, I don't know. I had a lot of fun having a pedicure with her. There's another girl, Maria. I met her in a shoe shop, and it was in Christchurch. And I went into the shoe shop because, and I told her this, I just thought, I'll just tell her. I was like, I was up in this church in Auckland, and there was this pastor, and he had the coolest gold shoes, like amazing. He really rocked his shoes. And then the following day, he's got this bright pink shirt, and he just rocks his clothes. And honestly, ever since I've seen his gold shoes, I want some, so I'm coming in to get some. Have you got any? Have you been to church? Yeah, wasn't hard. And she said, you know, I'd actually really like to go. I've seen a few of my friends' posts on social media, and I'd actually really love to go to church, but they haven't asked. Well, I asked her, have they asked you? No, was the answer. I was like, how about you just reach out to them and ask yourself? So I've sent her a little Facebook message and asked her, have you got along to church yet? Then there's Carlos. He was a security guard, and he was at Awakening. And I said hello to him. I can't remember exactly how the conversation went, but he's been listening to some TV show that I can't remember, some guy preaching, and he said that was his church. And I said, oh, that's really cool. So have you ever thought about, I don't know how I actually broached it properly, I'm trying to remember myself, but did you know that you can actually have Jesus living, or the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that to ask Jesus in, that it's an exchange of life? And he's like, oh, no, I didn't know that I had to do that. Thanks. That's given me something to think about. So there's Carlos. And then we've got Daniel. He came to Awakening, and the reason why he came is because I invited him. I asked him, do you want to come? And he said, yes. Sometimes that's all it takes. Just an invitation. Would you like to come to my house for dinner? Would you like to come to my church this Sunday? Would you like to? I don't need to help you with that, do I? And then there's Hans. He came to the first church service ever. He was standing outside Awakening Australia, and he had, so Awakening Australia, you guys all know, right? Down in Melbourne, just been recently, large stadium event where people were invited to come in and hear a gospel message in the evening, and then during the day we would get some teaching and training and go out to the streets to invite people. That's Awakening Australia. Well, there was a man outside looking a bit nervous with a ticket. And you know, when people are looking nervous, they normally just need someone to help give them a little nudge. So I just went up to him and I said, would you like to come inside? He's like, no, I wanted to come for tonight. And I was like, oh, give me your phone number, I'll give you a text message, and I'll save you a seat tonight. So I ended up with Hans, a guy from China who had never been to church before, so excited that he was there, sitting one side of me, and Daniel from Algeria, who'd been living in Melbourne for a while, sitting on the other side, and one seat over was a Lutheran pastor who leaned over and said, "I've been praying for a revival in this country." And I was thinking, that's exciting. Hopefully you'll see some. So, and then there's Lainey. Now, Lainey, she was an interesting one as well, because my ATM card that I'd tried to get activated when I saw Emma hadn't activated properly. So when I came to New Zealand and tried to use it, it declined when I was buying a Bible. So when I went into the Westpac to get it fixed, she started looking up the screen and had a look at the declines. And so that was a great introduction. I said, "You know, that credit card declined on me when I was buying a Bible." She's like, "Oh, that's a weird thing for it to decline on, isn't it?" And I was like, "Well, yes." I said, "Do you know much about the Bible?" And she's like, "Well, I know about the Old Testament and the New Testament and maybe NIV and King James." It was like she felt like I was giving her a little test. And I was like, "Is she like, is that what you mean?" I said, "Oh, I was just actually wondering if you've read it before." So anyway, it opened up a whole conversation. And do you know, while she was ringing the credit card services, it took 25 minutes for them to answer, and she kept saying, "I don't know why they're not answering." And I was thinking, "I do," because it actually gave me enough time to talk to her about what it meant to give her life to Jesus. And she ended up saying, "I never knew I had to invite him in. Thank you for telling me. I'm already going to church with my family, and I'll be able to do that now." So I just wanted to encourage you. Yeah, you can clap. I just wanted to encourage you on your everyday journey. Just open your mouth. Just smile. Tell someone something exciting. Just let something come out of your mouth. Trust that God's going to give you the words to say. You're not a morag, and you're not meant to be. Don't try. You're a you. Be 100% authentically you, and you'll do great. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to hear your voice, to be able to speak the things that you place on our hearts. And Lord, for the exciting message that you've given us. Lord, there's so much that you've given us. And I'm so, so grateful for the love that you pour out. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you're a God that I can hold on to. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you're a God that is trustworthy. And I ask, would you place in our hearts again tonight that trustworthiness of you, that we will remember that, we will remember not to jump ahead of what you have for us, and that we would be quick to obey. We'd be quick to hear your voice and go 100% obedience. Lord, we don't want to be Sauls. We don't want to go 90% and lose out on the inheritance. But we want to be those people that are devoted 100% followers of you. And Father, I have this longing in my heart that there would be less and less people that would say, "I've never spoken to someone like you. I've never been able to have a conversation with someone like you. I've never smiled like that in weeks." Lord, would there be less and less people that say that, asking that your body of Christ would be the hands and feet that you've called us to be. In your precious name, amen.